Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Pat and Chris. We were talking in the first hour, we were talking about King David and the things that David went through that did not make sense to him. But we talked about David's life when he wasn't the king and he served King Saul. And how David went from a nameless and faceless shepherd boy. When I say nameless and faceless, nobody knew who David was. He was just a shepherd boy, faceless, because no one recognized his face at the time. Mm-mm. He was, in fact, when Jesse, his father, called out all his sons for Samuel to anoint the next king, he wasn't even thought of to stand amongst the other brothers. He was what was considered maybe a nobody, if you will. But God loves to use the nobodies. Mm-mm. He loves to use them. And David goes from being a shepherd boy that no one even knew. He wasn't on no one's radar, not even his father at the time, to being at the epicenter of what was happening in Israel. He was in the king's palace, even had a seat at the king's table where Jonathan sat and other officials sat. David had a seat, and he went from that experience. Well, you think, you know, I've arrived. I mean, David's like, oh my goodness, the blessing of the Lord. I was so faithful to God. And maybe he was getting cozy, only to find out he was about to be, expelled from this place and being pushed out, to the point that King Saul, who once loved him, was trying to kill him. And the thing is that God was just using King Saul. King Saul was on his way out. God was removing King Saul because of the sin in King Saul's life. And he wanted to promote an anointed David. And God has an interesting sense of humor. I mean, he'll use, he used King Saul to train his replacement, you know. Like, he was training David to get the inner Saul out of his heart. And we shared about some experiences, how you got to review the whole context of your life. You can't judge one situation, one moment, a season of hardship, a season of struggle, a season of great trial, and say, oh my goodness, what has happened? Mm-hmm. In particular, if you haven't brought this upon yourself because of sin and rebellion and disobedience to God, you've searched your heart, you sought the Lord, you sought counsel, you've offered this up to your authorities in your life to see for clarification, for discernment, and it was not a result of your own doing, but God has indeed allowed it to happen because you're going through it. You got to believe that God has a greater purpose for that. He has a greater purpose for what's happening in your life, because he is bringing you into a new season of your life, but he's allowing you to go through process so that you can actually be ready for that season. Mm-hmm. But if you think about yourself and our self-focus and you become bitter and you don't understand what's happening, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And Pat was sharing a personal encounter. I had a personal encounter. And we talked about how something, what appears to be devastating or doesn't make sense at the moment, happens to you. And then all of a sudden, I was let go from a position that took care of my family and all the things that I needed for provision. And let me tell you how good God is, and how God is into VFN Radio personally. That termination, if you will, brought me into the fuller destiny of what I'm doing right now at this moment.
That's a promotion.
It was a promotion, and it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for it. But you need context. You need to be able to see that, listen, not everything that happens is a bad thing. It may appear to be bad. It may cause you some pain, and even pain, is not always bad. You know, no pain, no gain, if you will. You know what I mean? You got to go through something. And hopefully at the end of this hour, we'll be able to talk about perseverance, because we're looking at a culture and and the generation that doesn't know how to persevere. You got to be able to persevere and go through something, but you got to be able to trust God. And during the break, we were talking about Joseph and how Joseph spent years, one would say over a decade, going through tremendous trials. I mean, just things that you look back and say, my goodness, I mean, Joseph just got a bad rap here. I mean, can a brother get a break? You know what I'm saying? He was going through some stuff, but didn't realize that he was going to be the highest, second in command to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And what he went through was for a reason, for a purpose. And we got to talking during a break and realized that oftentimes, you know, we're going through a prophetic experience in our life, or we're going through a struggle, we're going through a situation. It's because God wants to use that not only to bring us to a place, but he's using us to bring others to a place. And it's very difficult to bring somebody to a place that you yourself have never come to. I mean, David wasn't ready to be king. I mean, he was anointed to be king, and you were called to be king. And there's a calling on your life. But to see that calling fulfilled, you've got to go through process. And I'm afraid of anybody that hasn't gone through process.
Right. Afraid of anybody that doesn't limp.
Oh, my goodness. Because there are some people that skip process. And somehow they get into that position. They do that particular thing. And oftentimes it has disastrous results. I mean, this is what happened with King Saul. King Saul never went through process, never dealt with the fear in his life, the very thing that they were trying to find him. They were trying to find him to anoint him, and he was hiding in the luggage. And that thing was never worked out. He feared man more than he ever feared God. And because that fear of man was never dealt with in his life, besides other things, while he became king, that very thing continued to work, and he feared man, never feared God, and decided to offer all these sacrifices and all these things and step outside of what he was called to do and started ministering in other duties that were not assigned, neither did he have the anointing or the covering to do. And as a result, God said, that's it. That's it. And his kingdom was torn from him. Listen, process makes all the difference in the world, but we got to be able to trust God in what he's doing in our lives. Don't become self-focused. Don't make it about yourself. Understand and recognize that God is doing something. Look at your life in context and don't make a decision by one play in the game. Realize that, you know what? If I put my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, and I humble myself and allow God to do what he's going to do, he will see me through this. And when I get past this, there's something about going through something that causes you to be different on the other side. You know what I mean? You ever been through something where you had to go through it, not around it, not over it, not underneath it, but you got to go through it. And when you go through it with God, that process of going through it causes you to be different, causes you to be prepared to enter that next season in your life. Listen, when it's all coming down and there isn't no reasonable explanation, understand and fully understand that God allowed it, and it is all bothered, filtered. You know, guys, I don't know if you saw this, but you know all the kids are going back to school, and they're starting their you know, education. It's back again, and the kids are all plugged in. They're reporting. You're not. I don't know if you're gonna believe it. CBN's reporting that a young girl, 14 years old, her name is Thessalonica. That's her name. Thessalonica, spelled a little bit differently.
All right.
Arzu Embry, she's graduating from college at the age of 14.
Okay. What?
That means she entered college when she was, Chris, 11.
Oh, my.
11 years old. She's a believer, loves the Lord. And her mother found that her daughter had this exceptional gift and a real passion for a passion for learning while she was homeschooling her. She was just a young child.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother states, listen to this, that she started reading her daughter, she started reading to her college books, and she understood the material at age 6 and 8 years old.
Wow.
She read, think about it, Alana 6, she read her college textbooks to her 6-year-old daughter, and she was able to understand it. And she realized that, man, there's something going on here with my daughter. So somehow they were able to enroll her in classes at the Lake County College.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I mean, she was.
Did she skip high school?
I don't know about that. They don't say whether she skipped high school or maybe she took a GED placement exam. And, typically, if you could do something like that, and they show that, you know, certain students have aptitude, you know, high.
She has,
wow. Yeah, she has a IQ of 199. And she says that she never felt overwhelmed by college level work. Man, you got to understand, okay? I mean, statistics almost kicked me out of college. You know what I'm saying? I had math is not my subject. I had difficulty in college algebra. It was the one class I had to repeat in college. College algebra just wore me out, okay? And then you had to take 2 maths. Then I had to take a statistics by a professor that I could not even understand what in the world he was saying in English. I just couldn't understand him, much less those 2 languages I was trying to decipher. What are you exactly saying, okay? Because I couldn't understand them, and I couldn't understand this math language, and I passed by the grace of God. But to hear that this 14-year-old child who was enrolled in college at the age of 11, think about that, at the age of 11, didn't have any difficulty, was not overwhelmed. Her mother states that, they're believers, they love God, they're Christians, that their family begins the day, each day, with prayer and Bible study. They've always done that. And she said that basically her faith and her belief in the Lord has helped her through. And one of the scriptures that she loves to quote and just helps her to understand what's happening in her own personal life is Proverbs 28:5. And it says, I thank God. Actually says that they that seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs 28:5, they that seek the Lord understand all things.
Wow.
And she says that she's very thankful for that. And she graduated. Check this out. She's fixing to graduate. Did I just go Southern there? She's about to graduate with a GPA of 3.9.
Oh, my goodness. 3.9.
Well, I couldn't even imagine.
I think I was 1.9.
Right.
3.9, guys. 3.9. And she says going to continue to get her master's degree in psychology and wants to help other people in life. And you think about that, to me it's just utterly amazing the things that we can accomplish, the things that we can do. And I think about, you know, other gifted children, and I think about the young girl who, and I don't remember the name of the book, but the book about the little boy that went to heaven, it's escaping me right now, but he met this other young girl. Somehow they got connected because she had a gift to paint at a very young age. And her paintings are absolutely gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. She saw, my understanding is that she saw Jesus, and she was able to paint him. And the way that the boy, the little boy who went to heaven, who's a pastor's son, they wrote a little book. They wrote the father and the son. They were able to compile this book, and the father's going over and over with the son, like, "Hey, what did Jesus look like?" You know, and so they showed him pictures. He was just a small, young child. I think he was like under the age of 10, and so they show him different pictures throughout. You know, and he said, "No, you know, doesn't look like that." And one day, I don't know where. That picture was that the boy said, "That's what he looks like. That's what he looks like. And it was this from this other Christian young girl, you know, mm-hmm. who painted this beautiful picture. And actually, right now, the Family Christian Bookstore, I happen to see that same picture for sale. But it's an amazing thing. I mean, just the gifts and the talents, you know, mm-hmm. that children and adults could have if we actually just it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It really is amazing. And they say that we don't use our ability. We don't use our, you know, full grasp of our brain and what's available. But the book is called Heaven is for Real. And it's a great, great book. The full title is Heaven is for Real, A Little Boy's Astounding Story of His Trip to Heaven and Back. And his father is a minister in Nebraska. And it's just absolutely amazing. I highly recommend it. My son thoroughly enjoyed this book. And it's so good. But can you imagine? Yeah, imagine mm-hmm. having an IQ at the age of 14 of 199.
No.
And to be able to, you know, learn with that capacity. Mm-hmm. It just causes me to have great faith, not to get a college degree or nothing like that, but just to exercise my ability to understand and to learn and not to put limits. So many times I think we put limits on our ability to learn something new. Mm-hmm. We put a cap on it and say, well, I can't do that, or I'm old, or my brain doesn't work as good. Why would we speak those things over our brain or even our bodies and those type mm-hmm. of things and speak that out when we should, you know, the Bible says that the memory of the righteous is blessed. A lot mm-hmm. of people out here say, oh, my memory is bad.
Right.
Well, the scriptures say that the memory of the righteous is blessed. That's something that we should confess over and over again, mm-hmm. our own mind and the word of God inside of us, and speak that out in faith. And so that we can achieve and do more things for the glory of God. But I think about this young girl, and I'm thinking, wow, way to go. You know, way to go. It causes me to think how often, you know, myself or you look at society, we've dumbed everything down.
Mm-hmm.
No, we've dumbed everything down. We say, oh, you can't possibly do that. Well, listen, this girl at 6 years old was reading college textbooks. She enrolled in college at the age of 11. I mean, not everyone's going to enroll in college at the age of 11, but it has been done. It is possible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So great, you can't pick up a college textbook, but maybe you can learn something else. There's something that you can believe God to do. And I just think about Thessalonica, and it encourages and stirs my faith to say, man, Lord, teach me. Teach me new things. Continue to be one, you know, be one that continues to grow and learn and step out of the box. It's important. It's important to trust God, to meditate on his word, and to believe him for the end. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. And let God show you and open revelation to you, give you knowledge, and see what God wants you to do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes it's hard to respond to your demanding child. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. You know, those tricky situations may require that you throw down the mom card. Well, here's Angela Thomas explaining how to do that.
The mom card is, I am making the final decision, no questions asked, about this issue. I'm throwing down the mom card. Sometimes it's not appropriate for my kids to know why. Maybe I won't allow them to go to that friend's house or to go to that activity. It would be inappropriate for them to have the information that I have. And so I'll just say to them, hey, I know I usually explain things to you, and I usually try to give you a reason for my answer, but today, I'm going to have to throw down the mom card.
The mom card is a great tool to protect your kids and be a better parent. For more practical tips for your journey as a mom or a dad, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
It is amazing how this is all working. it's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, mm-hmm. but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're just talking about Thessalonica. It's a young girl, 14 years old, who just graduated from college with a 3.9 GPA. Let me tell you something. Listen, all things are possible for those who believe. She said college was not even overwhelming to her. I said, my goodness, I feel challenged and stirred up in my faith to believe God. The memory of the righteous is blessed. Just go ahead and just confess that and believe that.
Yes.
But I
yes.
know, Chris, that you were talking to us about Josiah and what the Lord was sharing with you during your abiding time. Man, what's the Lord saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about Josiah, and it's been a very, very encouraging words. I was reading in 2 Chronicles 35, where it says that this took place after, you know, Josiah was putting the kingdom back in order. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they had found the word of God, and he was putting everything back in order, mm-hmm. and getting the temple right, cleaning the temple out. And what he makes this profound statement to me, it was pretty profound. He's talking to the priest.
Do tell.
He's speaking to the priest, and he tells them, he says, put the holy ark in the temple of the Lord. You no longer need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders. Now spend your time serving the Lord your God and his people, Israel. Mm. And I just began to meditate on that. And, you know, how many times, you know, do we walk around and we're trying to carry what God has given to us in our own strength? We're carrying it on our shoulders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Josiah saying, you know, put it down, put it in the temple. And in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God and that mm-hmm. the Spirit of the Lord lives in you?
Mm. All right.
And I was just like, you know, so many times today that, you know, we're trying to carry around this huge load. It's like mm-hmm. we're always trying to go from one project to the next, to the next. We have so many different mm-hmm. things going on, and we begin to start carrying them in our own strength. But yeah. Jesus says, you know, take my yoke mm-hmm. upon you, for it is easy, and, you know, my burden is light.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we've got to stop. You know, we got to stop trying to carry these things in our own strength, because how many times do we fail? Our strength is failing. Mm-hmm. And how many times do we get in the way?
Yeah. And we can trust the Lord with that. I mean, there's a season where you're doing one thing and you're supposed to be carrying it, and the Lord's trying to develop faith and strength in you. And there's another season where God's saying, put that down. Mm-hmm. And you got to know what to do in the season that you're living in. That's why it's important to abide. It's important to spend time with the Lord. It's important to hear what God is saying to you, mm-hmm. because God may be saying for someone else, hey, you need to carry this at this time. For you, it's right for you to carry. And for you at this time, it's right for you to set it down. Mm-hmm. But it's so true what you're saying, is it comes to a point where you say, listen, you can't carry that.
Right, exactly. And then another aspect that he was showing me, you know, is that they were carrying the ark on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we look at how, you know, we look and we see that how, you know, the Pharisees, they would walk around, and Jesus talked about them, how they stood on street corners praying. You know, they did everything to look good.
Right.
You know, look at me, I'm carrying this thing. I've got my Bible. Here it is. Don't you see? Mm-hmm. I'm carrying it everywhere I go. But he says to put it down. You know, so many times in the scriptures, I mean, it tells us over and over again, God tells us, you know, take the word, take my commandments, and put them on the tablets of your heart. Put them inside. Put them in the temple.
Right.
You know, because we, you know, and we are the temple.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus talks about them, that, you know, says he calls them whitewashed tombs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so worried about the outside of the cup, and not the, while they walked around, they were empty cups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we're supposed to be. You know, we talk about it so many times, we're supposed to be the church.
Right.
Stop looking like the church. Stop acting. Be. Do. Mm-hmm. Do the work of the Lord that he's called yeah. you to do. Then he also showed me in Hezekiah, in 2 Chronicles, in Hezekiah, he says, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered.
Mm.
You know, if we just do the work of the Lord, which what Josiah said,
mm-hmm.
put it down and just begin to serve God's people.
Mm.
Stop trying to serve yourself. Stop trying to look good.
Yeah.
Put it down. Put the word of God. Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, love your brothers.
It comes to a point where, listen, it's not what you're, you know, God's not interested in what you can do for him. You know what I mean? He's interested in you loving. You're not doing something for God, you know. God is using you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? God is using you. You're not using God. And it's important to trust him. It's important to not get into works. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful word, you know? And at that time, just what was going on with the priest is just a different way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just saying, listen, go ahead and put that down now. Put right. that down. This is what you need to do. Put it down. Put that in the temple and just service and minister to the people. And it's a good word today. It's good for us to always keep focus at, listen, it's about being a part of what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I was reading in 2 Timothy, and I think it's encouraging because it goes in line with what we were sharing before, that It's amazing, Chris, how you can be in one season of your life and you can be in a certain place. But God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to bring you to a new place and a new season and a new part. But you got to be willing to let go of what used to be in order for you to receive what will be. But you can't hold on to them both. You can't hold on to both of those things. And I was reading in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy says, 2:20, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble purposes. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And they're talking about it's being a vessel, some for common purposes, some for, you know, special purposes. Noble and ignoble, right? Mm-hmm. And so everyone starts out as a vessel. You're a vessel. Now, you may be a small vessel. You may be a clay vessel. You may be common purposes. But oftentimes, I think sometimes people settle for whatever vessel that they're in. Listen, I'm just a little teacup vessel, and I'm happy to be that. And as long as I'm saved, you know, that's all good, and I'll be the teacup. And it's like, wait a minute. God wants more out of your life. He is wants to train you and mold you and shape you so that you can be a vessel for special purpose in his kingdom. And so the thing is that are you willing to let go of what used to be so that God can prepare you for what will be? And normally there's process that's involved in the middle of that. We talked about how mm-hmm. King David had process.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, are you willing to throw that teacup right up here in the mix so that we can just, you know, mess that all up and start all over again and mold and shape and work that clay? And, you know what I'm saying? Are you willing to let go of that? And are you willing to allow the master to reshape you and put you back on in the potter's wheel, if you will, so that he can make a vessel now for a greater purpose? I mean, that purpose, the teacup was, listen, that was great, and what you did in that season of your life was good, and how you served in that way, beautiful. But there's a new season in your life. There's a new season for what God wants to do, and the question is, are you willing to allow yourself to be put back on that wheel,
right,
and allow God to do the molding and the shaping? And normally at that time, it's like, oh God, you're touching me. You're touching my stuff. You're moving things out. I feel a molding taking place here. Was that your thumb? You know, I was like, yes, it was, son, daughter, yes. There's a shaping going on. And the thing is that during that process, if you let go of what used to be, you're in the middle of what's called transition. You're not fully what God wants you to be at that particular time. And when people can't hang their hat on a certain place or feel comfortable in a certain location or a season in their life, if you look at yourself, you're going to get shaky. You got to look to God. God is doing the molding. He's doing the shaping. And if you stay with God in that process, what he's trying to pull out, what he's trying to develop in you is to make a beautiful vessel that's going to be able to be able to be used for a special purpose. Listen, more vessels he can pour into. God wants to pour himself into you so that you can be poured out onto others. But if you just want to, you know, only remain as a little teacup, mm-hmm. and this is all I want to do, this is all that I can do, that's all you'll ever have in your life. You got to be willing to allow yourself to be on the potter's wheel, allow yourself to allow God to transform you and mold you into what he wants to do in your life so that you can do, so that you can have greater glory, so that you can honor him, because he's making you into a special vessel for a special purpose and season in your life. The new season that you're getting into, teacup is not welcome. I mean, you got to let go of the teacup because this is a new season. In the new season, it's room for a new vessel for God to pour into. And you got to be willing to say, yes, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. Because I want all that you have in that season. There's nothing like someone showing up with something that's so outdated and worn out. It's like, weren't we using that 20 years ago? I mean, mm-hmm. do you think it's time for an upgrade? You know,
right.
But they get stuck in what they always had. And it's like, listen, it's okay to let that go. See, that cup, you can throw that one away.
Right.
Because they have new cups these days. You can get rid of that. And there's nothing like trying to approach God in a new season in life when God is just bringing you out of that. It's like, okay, that we were talking about that, you know, 20 years ago. What is God saying today? Mm-hmm. You know, what is God wanting to do in your life today? And we're seeing so many things happen. We're believing for a third great awakening, and God is looking for vessels that he can pour himself into that are going to be willing to pour themselves out on behalf of men and women and children all across this country and across this world. But it's going to take more than a teacup.
Yeah,
it's going to take more than a little glass, juice glass there when you go to Denny's. It's going to take more than a little juice glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a special vessel that it's allowed, you know, you've allowed yourself to be molded and shaped by the master for this next season in your life. I want to encourage you that it's okay. It's okay to go through process. It's okay to let go of the juice glass, if you will. It's okay, because what God wants to do in your life, how God wants to use you in this next season, is going to require you to be totally different, totally transformed into a vessel that he can use so that he can get greater glory. Listen, don't miss it. Allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Let the molding and the shaping occur, because at the end, you're going to be a vessel prepared and ready to be used for the master. No longer a little juice glass, but now a container, a pitcher. They used to pour into you. You used to be poured into.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're going to be used as the one that's going to be lifted up so that you can be poured out onto others. Listen, this is what it's all about. You got to let go of what used to be so that you can embrace what God wants to do in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org, or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things, is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody don't think like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had three new phones.
Oh, gosh.
Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
And
I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, we're going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. We got to, really enunciate our words and speak more like John.
Tournament.
The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Sort of a meal. Mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. No. Right. He's like, oh, I didn't
know
about that
one. Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill? Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other goes by, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this. Cheat. Nope. Don't do.
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy as a Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
Sophisticated. Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. Joining me back in the extra hours, Pat and Chris. G?
No. You don't do. I.
Interesting. I think when I finish, I'm going to have a meal when I get done here. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we were talking about earlier about perseverance. And it's amazing. It's amazing to think that anything can get done in life or in the kingdom of God without having a spirit of perseverance. Let me tell you something. Perseverance is so needed. I mean, what can get accomplished if you don't persevere and stay the course? And I see oftentimes where people say they try. I put a good effort in, but they don't persevere and finish the race. They don't finish and go all the way. And Hebrews says, for us not to throw away our confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Don't throw away your faith. Do not throw away your confidence in God. Confidence in yourself could always be thrown away. We're talking about, so do not throw your confidence away in God because it will be richly rewarded. We need people to be confident in the Lord. So many times you see confidence being what I like to call as misplaced confidence. Confidence and trust in so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their cars, their resources,
right,
their own strength, abilities, other people. But what about confidence in the Lord, faith in God? That's how precious your faith is. And the enemy would try to do everything in his power to get you to give up and to give in.
Mm-hmm.
Every lie, every attack. And the thing about it is that we cannot entertain those lies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that he is the father of all lies. Rest assured that whenever he's opening his mouth, he's always lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's constantly trying to attack us with all kinds of thoughts, arrows, if you will, to get us to stop. No forward movement in God. It's all about stopping. It's all about stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really protective over your heart and over your mind. I mean, the Bible says that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4, I believe 23. You have to guard your heart. You got to guard your mind and not allow anything to run wild through your mind. And a bit, you know, one of the gifts that we could ever have is a busy and fruitful life.
Right.
Because when your life is consumed with doing the will of the Lord, when your life is consumed being productive and being fruitful, you don't have a lot of time to allow other things to run crazy in your mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're engaged in the things of God. You can get busy and see things happen and see fruit produce. But a mind that wanders, an aimless, you know, just thinking about nothing today. Listen, if you don't have a thought in your mind, the enemy will be happy to give you and supply you not just one, but many. And oftentimes those thoughts are about giving up. Those thoughts are about giving in and quitting.
Mm.
Well, listen, if you quit, you're going to forfeit your reward. God wants to reward your faith, but you can't give up. And in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, it says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. That word, when you think about the definition, it means to persist in anything that you have undertaken. I mean, it means that you just keep going. You maintain a purpose in spite of the difficulty and the obstacles and the discouragement. I mean, oftentimes it's like, oh, I tried doing hard. You know, I tried real hard. But then this obstacle came. Right. Then this situation came and I had to give up. Well, no, you're supposed to maintain. You're supposed to persist in the midst of the difficulty. It's not about trying. No, no. Succeed. Do. Finish. Stick. Stay and stand. Hang in there. Hang tough. And when I think about perseverance and I think about not giving up, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but just in the news, a long-distance endurance swimmer, her name is Diane Nyad, she just finished, first person ever to do this. She swam all the way from Havana to Florida.
Now, where's Havana?
Cuba. Think about this. Cuba. Wow. To Florida, all the way to Key West.
That's what, 90 miles?
No, no, 110 miles.
Wow.
First person to do this without a shark cage. People have done it before with a shark cage, obviously, so they don't get, you know,
eaten
by a shark. But also the shark cage, I have learned, has a way that it propels people along, too. It's kind of an assistance. Mm. It kind of, you know, they kind of get some kind of, you know, a flow with that.
Mm.
So a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But she's attempted this. This is her fifth attempt. She has been stopped before because of jellyfish things. The water was too rough and she's you know, not been able to make it. Interesting note, she's 64.
Wow.
64. And just so that you know, she was swimming for 53 hours.
Straight.
Well, she didn't come out the water. She did stop to eat. And what I guess she had boats that were following. She had a team of 35 with her during this whole thing. I guess they tried to give her some food.
Did she sleep?
Apparently not. I mean, I don't know how she did that. Quite amazing to me.
That's more than 2 days.
Amazing. Amazing.
Don't know. 53 hours.
Think about that.
Wow.
53 hours of swimming. I didn't even think about how do you sleep in the water? I mean, And she did it. She had this mask on her face to protect her from being stung by a jellyfish. Mm-hmm. She had doctors that were there present monitoring her. At one time she even threw up because she had difficulty breathing. She was throwing up while she was swimming. And she endured. I mean, she was able to do it. And I'm just amazed that you talk about endurance, you talk about perseverance, and you talk about not giving up. This is something that she wanted to do for the longest time, and she did it. She set a record. And oftentimes, people give up. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have, you know, I'm sure that over those 53 hours, she at least had 53 opportunities to give up.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
I heard someone say that they were married for 50 years, and they were celebrating their anniversary, and a very wise man, he says, yep, that means we have 53 opportunities to get a divorce, at least. You know, and these days, people don't understand the word about perseverance. You know, you're seeing a culture that's easy to give in and give up, but we can't remember what the word of the Lord is to us. It says, do not give up. Do not throw away your confidence. You know, you need to persevere. You need to hang in there, hang tough, if you will. Some other words that go along with perseverance. You have to plug away. Because if you do, if you continue to persevere, you're going to receive. You're going to receive the reward. God has a reward. He wants to reward our faith. It's the testing of our faith that James talks about. But you know what? And he says that my righteous one will live by faith. When you think about all the things that you do in your life as a believer, everything you do comes by faith. Living by faith is not just a cute scripture that we put on a refrigerator. It's how we live. Everything should be done in faith. We love in faith. We're the righteousness of God in faith. Our salvation's by faith. We lay our hands on the sick and they recover by faith. We hear God's word by faith. We commune with the Lord by faith. It's all done by faith. We work by faith. We sow in faith. And it's the testing of your faith that has to persevere. The enemy wants to attack you in your faith, in your belief, and in your confidence that God is able. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more of all that you dream, can ask, think, or imagine. And you need to be sure in your confidence. You need to be sure in your trust. Because there are situations going to happen, just like this woman who was swimming. You can think of the current. They said at one point that she's swimming, that somebody, one of the doctors was in the water, and they have this electrical thing that they put in the water to scare off or get rid of the sharks that are approaching of the water. And they were telling her at one point, go to the right, go to the right, go to the left, go to the left. You're in shark-infested water. You have a 110-mile journey. I don't know many people who can walk 110 miles, much less swim.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Swim. Your body constantly has to be moving. I mean, how long can you float? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
How long can you float? Think about the energy that takes place, the training that takes place for that. And at any moment, if you believe, how many times could have been thought in her mind, you know, okay, maybe we need to stop. I can't do this anymore. But she kept pushing. She kept pushing. She kept, you know, envisioning the coast of Florida. Sometimes all you need to do, man, sometimes all you can do is to lock your eyes and see the vision. That's why, you know, God's people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish for lack of vision. They don't have vision. If you don't have vision, let me tell you something. The enemy is more than happy to supply you with multiple visions so that you can have division. Mm-hmm. And everything divided from itself will fall. That's why you got to purposely, whatever it is that God has called you to do, whether it's ministry, your job, a vision for your family, you have to know what it is clear cut so that you can stay focused, so that you can stay locked in for what God's called you to do. But if you're a visionless person, you're being tossed back and forth by every lie of the enemy, by every suggestion from someone who's been held captive, and you're not moving within your purpose. But you got to persevere. You've got to stick, stay, and stand. We need people today that are not going to just stand because it's comfortable, only in times that it's comfortable. What makes the measure of a man or a woman is when things are going down, when the chips are down, where are you? When times get difficult, where are you? Mm-hmm. Are you one that's firm and resolute and say, we're going to get through this? With God, all things are possible. We're going to get through this. We're going to make it through the other side. We're going to go through this, and we're not going to give up. You think about all the times that you could have given up. Mm-hmm. I think about all the times that you were tempted to throw in the towel. Listen, don't shrink back. The Word of God says that we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Listen, raise your faith level high. Believe again. Don't let your confidence be rocked. Maybe you found out that you have misplaced confidence. Maybe you've been trusting in yourself and things and people. Maybe you've been holding on to what other people have said. You need to know for yourself what the word of the Lord is. You need to spend some time abiding. You can go to iabide.org and get a simple plan where you can learn to spend time with God daily, where you can hear his voice for yourself and write down what God has told you in your quiet time. Listen, there's nothing like putting your hope, your confidence in the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's trust and confidence that can never be shaken. But you have to put it all in God and persevere all the way to the end.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.